This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon and Hong Kong Island after a fortnight in which Eastern fans took over some stands, but the headlines were all Degans. Lee Man Star says au revoir, leaving the Bees attack under par. And Lilock Yin goes gambling and throws Korea into the bin. This week, it's a cross-harbour endeavour. I am joined via the internet by Tobias Dusser, who is in Kowloon, Hong Kong. Toby, how's it going?
Hello, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back again.
Yeah, we missed you last week. What were you doing? What was so important?
Oh, you know, life.
Oh, good.
I also have one. Even people don't believe I can spend so much time on Hong Kong football. I might have not a life indeed.
Fair enough. And also joining us is Hong Kong Islander Jonathan White. Johnny, how's it going?
Not bad, not bad. Should probably have walked all the way to Hong Kong Football Podcast Towers, but here we are on the internet.
Yeah, it's not as good as people say it is. So a lot has happened since last we spoke. Most pertinently, Kitchy are top of the league. The reigning Premier League champions beat Southern 2-1, Pegasus 2-0, and on Wednesday, they dispatched pretenders to their throne Eastern in a 1-0 win. Scorer of both the goals against Pegasus and the winner against Eastern was new arrival Dejan Damjanovic. Quite an introduction for him.
Yeah, indeed. So I think he played now three matches and scored three goals. So that's a very good ratio there. It also was the first time now that he started from the beginning. I think he's picking up fitness after 3 weeks of hotel quarantine and Food Panda and Uber Eats and Deliveroo. and with 39 years of age, he's just in his Hong Kong prime time anyway, and it seems he still can score.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about that game against Eastern at the Mongkok Stadium. Toby, there was some kerfuffle about where fans were going to sit. Can you explain this for us?
Yeah, it sounds like a very particular Hong Kong football issue. So before the game, it emerged that Eastern fans or the Eastern ultra fans, how you would like to describe them, or cheering groups, as they are usually referred to by the Hong Kong Football Association. They made a public statement on Facebook explaining why they would like to move the stand from the Flower Market side to the opposite, the Boundary Street side. More or less arguing that this has also been where Eastern fans were gathering in the 1990s during the prime time of the club. And then, of course, an argument emerged with the Kitchy fans, who claimed and who have been claiming that side of the Mongkok Stadium for themselves over the last years. And yeah, this then culminated in this kerfuffle on Wednesday night at Mongkok Stadium, where some Kitchy fans also put some action to their threat that they would not like Eastern fans to settle down on their side of the stadium. So yeah, this is really all there is to it. I would have hoped it's a bit more exciting and intriguing, but yeah, it's just two groups of fans who are fighting over who gets the better seat in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, only in Hong Kong football could you argue over where to sit in a half-empty stadium.
Half-empty's a bit kind.
Yeah, there was definitely other places they could have sat.
It's like two bald men fighting over a comb. Or, you know, two footballers fighting over a penalty which one of them subsequently misses. The most ridiculous thing is there's two ends at a football ground. Both of those sets of fans should be trying to occupy one of them. In a very Hong Kong way, they quite enjoy, you know, the cachet of being ultras while also the covering from the wind and the rain. You know, the two stands they were talking about are the two stands along the side of the pitch, and they are the premium seats in any other football situation, and the two ends are exposed, and it's a little bit of a shame that they aren't at the end anyway.
If they were proper ultras, they would be at the end. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, but also you know, everyone has different views on this, but it seems that the ends where you have, you know, you look at something like Old Trafford where they attack one end in the second half and, you know, that's a thing, or the yellow wall at Dortmund, or basically the curve of Sud, whatever, they're always seem to be a bit more at the end. And yeah. I don't know why the side has become a thing.
Especially when there's two sides. I mean, you can easily get for some kind of peaceful coexistence if you wanted.
Like a half and half scarf they could have. Half and half side.
Anyway, it's all very silly, but I thought we should mention it anyway. Let's talk about the game.
It's good the passion is there. Let's be positive.
It's good that you're right. I'm glad that anyone cares. But yeah, the match. Eastern added another prong to their much-vaunted attacking trident of Sandro, Lucas, and the brilliantly named Everton Camargo. That was former Kitchy legend Fernando, who, by the way, is now a Hong Konger. He naturalized, has a Hong Kong passport. So the trident now has four prongs. What you call a trident with four prongs?
I'm going to go with a fork if we have to name it.
Okay, the fork. Well,
not all forks have four prongs, but no tridents do.
No, by definition, a trident doesn't. I was thinking, do you remember how like Barcelona had like Messi, Suarez, Neymar became MSN, and Bale, Benzema, and Ronaldo became BBC? Maybe these, we could call them self for Sandro, Everton, Lucas, Fernando. Do you think that'll catch on? I will take the deafening silence. I will take the deafening silence as a no.
I think what you're missing is that it needs to have, you know, the brilliantly named Everton Camargo somewhere in there.
Oh, that's true. It's gonna be wordy. So, after us going on about this attacking quartet, this fearsome foursome, they never managed a goal between them. It ended 1-0, as I think I already mentioned. It seems like lots of action. It was quite an action-packed game. There was a lot going on, but mostly in the middle of the field. There were a few clear-cut chances. What was your guys' impression?
Yeah, my impression was very similar to this. So I was actually in the stadium that night to witness, of course, the big fight of the two ultra groups. But I usually enjoy the Kitchy Eastern games because you can also see quite a bit of emotion on the pitch. We had our obligatory red card as well, our sending off this time of Diego Alli. Last time for the Sapling Cup semifinal, I believe it was Everton who was sent off. So, yeah, but aside from this, you would have expected a bit more goal chances on each side. Particularly, I think, for Eastern, you would have expected at least a goal if you have this kind of attacking quartet or this attacking fork up front.
Self.
Right. No, I prefer the fork. but they were unable to grab any bite this time. And yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but not the best of games, but still you had a derby feel to it, at least.
Yeah, maybe it was more of a spork than a fork. yeah, you're right. There was a lot of needle on both sides. It was quite a hot-tempered game. Dejan's goal in the 64th minute was a classic poacher's effort. Right place, right time. Tap in from a few yards. The kind of thing that seems so easy, but only certain players seem capable of doing it. After that, Easton's, as you mentioned, Diego Alli was sent off for a second yellow after a tackle on Souza. And it did. It felt like the classic Eastern Kitchy clashes of about 5 years ago, with quite tight, bit of anger. So I guess it was fitting that an Eastern stalwart like Diego, a veteran of so many of these games, was sent off. Were Kitchy good value for their win?
Well, I think they were the more efficient side on that evening. They are not yet, I believe, the same team or the same kind of champion squad that they used to be in terms of confidence and also in terms of the overall smoothness of the play. You also don't have any more, of course, the star strikers that now Eastern has all collected. But yeah, at the end of the day, even though they might have not been really the better side and also maybe have not, you know, dominated as much as they would have done in the past. They were still the ones who got away with the 3 points, and this is eventually what counts for them, and also how they won the last Premier League season as well. So this could be a path for them to championship again and to defend their title. Certainly seem capable of doing that, but yeah, it's not the same star strut kitschy squad that we were used to for a long time.
I think it bodes well for them that, you know, we've said countless times over this disjointed season and summer last season, it is a new look kitschy. But in adding Dejan Damjanovic, you know, they've got experience is a bit cliche, but, you know, that goal sort of proves it. The first goal he scored where he just beat the keeper to the ball and prodded it home. You know, he's capable of much better, you know, a great goal scorer and a scorer of great goals. So if he's already doing, you know, the dirty ones, there's going to be a bit more to come from him, especially come Champions League time. But Kitschy now look good for their role as, you know, default champions they start the season as.
Well, after that win, Kitschy are top on 11 points, 3 wins in a row for them. Eastern are only a point behind them, and they will get a great opportunity for revenge as both sides will face off in the league at the same stadium in just a week or so. That's on Friday, 19th of March, 8 p.m. kickoff at the Moncock Stadium. Very enticing fixture for any neutrals who fancy getting back in the stadium while they can. A quick note on the attendance, 2,800 people. That's a good showing for local football. And also, you know, given that stadiums are restricted because of social distancing rules, might technically be a sellout.
Yeah, I take back my snarky comment about it not being our fault.
Oh, there's one non-judgmental fun fact I would like to add here. If you well, I need to really, you know, lead properly into this without being called out for it. If you looked at the starting lineups of both teams on that night, you could not help but noticing that 10 of the 22 players were actually born in Brazil. Of course, some of them have already received the Hong Kong passport in the meantime. But in comparison, we only also had 4 players that were born in Hong Kong, which maybe seems a bit surprising because it did not feel like that when you just looked at the game. But it just, is another reminder that, we do have a quite Brazilian dominance still in the Hong Kong Premier League, especially now of a generation where many of them have also been naturalized or are on the path of naturalization. We are missing out still on quite a few Hong Kong players that have dominated the last few years, like Wong Wai, who would start on the bench, Fung Hing Wah, who would start on the bench, Leung Chun Pong, who would start on the bench. That's a bit of a change of scenery as well, which is a little bit disheartening at times.
Yeah.
I think it's probably time for someone to get out the old Barnsley. It's just like watching Brazil champ.
That's a good point. I don't know why we haven't done that yet. But thank you, Toby, for that non-judgmental fun fact. That's my favourite kind of fun fact.
I found it both non-judgmental and fun in equal measure.
What are your judgmental fun facts? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I cannot say them here.
That's for a different podcast. Okay, so that's the top two. Who's in third? Tinshoi Y Pegasus, that's who. Before that loss to Kitschy, they beat Rangers 2-0 thanks to a brace from recent arrival Da Silva. Speaking of Brazilians, the first assist came off Seilong Hin and the other from forward Dos Santos. Both Da Silva and Dos Santos were among a trio of recent Brazilian recruits for the Flying Horsemen, and they look like they're making an impact so far. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, I know it's early days. It's very, you know, we're 4 or 5 games into the season, but I'm a little bit surprised to see them flying so high. So we'll see if they can keep that up. In other news, Resources Capital came so close to winning their first point in the Premier League. They were at 1-1 with Rangers in the dying moments of a very eventful match in Qingyi, but Harima Hirakane got a late goal. The scoring in this game started spectacularly with Augusto pummeling one in from his own half. He'd spotted Res cap keeper Lam Chung Kit off his line, and this one flew straight in. A lovely goal. It was, you know, sometimes you hear about players scoring from their own half, and it turns out the goalie was running back from a corner, and the ball kind of dribbled in off like three bounces. But this one, this hit the net. This was Beckham-esque.
See, I wouldn't say it's Beckham-esque.
Why?
Because that Beckham goal, he has it. He has a couple of touches. He looks up and like he absolutely floats it. This was more Rooney-esque. The ball's bounced about a couple of times. It's broke in front of him and he's absolutely let rip. The keeper, I don't know where he was though. he was maybe off looking for someone. You know, he'd not seen his mates for a while. He was miles away. But even if he'd have been further back, like, it's a lovely strike. He'd probably have caught him if he was on his 6-yard line.
Yeah. So the point I'm making is that it went straight in, and I think that's to be considered a good halfway line goal. It has to do that, and rather than bouncing before it went into the net. So I was very
unless impressed. It bounces over the keeper.
Yeah, but then it's more on the goalie, isn't it, than the kicker of the ball.
No, it's a great strike, great opportunism.
Yeah, indeed. Res cap pulled level in the second half after Jean-Jacques Quilama conceded a penalty. Felipe Gonçalves took the penalty, which was initially saved, but he slotted home the rebound. Rangers were piling on the pressure, but 1-1 it remained until in the 94th minute, Hirakane rose to meet a Lam Kar Wai free kick, heading in the winner to seal 3 points for Rangers. They're up in fifth, unlucky to Res cap. They stay bottom on 0 points. One thing I hadn't noticed was that Yuji Nam now plays for Res cap. Is that a new thing, or have I just not been paying attention?
Yeah, I think you have not been paying attention. He was loaned out at the beginning of the season, which I mean the very beginning of the season, last October. Mm. And yeah, so that might actually turn out quite well for him, because at least he gets playing time compared to his Eastern fellows, like I've just mentioned, Wong Wai and Fung Hing Hwa. So yeah, it might be a fall from his time at the national team, sorry, representative team. But yeah, still maybe something good coming out for him as well.
Yeah, interesting to see how he does. In other transfer news, well, turns out what I thought was news wasn't really news, but this is news. Philip Chan is now at Rangers, formerly of Taipo, South China. Well, lots of teams, Southern, Eastern. But he's with Rangers now. He played most of this game, and quite an eventful game to make your debut.
Res cap. They seem to be quite unfortunate at the moment, and it's a lot of late goals undoing them. You know, they don't look completely out of their depth with what they're trying to do. But then letting in goals from halfway, late winners, isn't helping their cause. Mm-hmm. But I assume they can't get relegated, because this being the Hong Kong Premier League, they'll probably be quite welcome if they want to play again next season.
Yes, I do think that isn't a danger for them at the moment. And we've still got quite a lot to talk about. Happy Valley, Lee Man, some football crime news, and that's all coming after this break.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Happy Valley and Lee Man played out a 0-0 draw. This was Lee Man's first game without their talismanic French forward, Michael Ndri, who has retired. A cracking forward over the past few seasons in Hong Kong football. Arrived relatively late in his career. I think he was about 34, although that's not too late by Hong Kong standards. But he's been immense for Lee Man over the past few seasons. The stats are all a little bit complicated because of games which were cancelled after the fact, last season. But according to Lehmann's official tally, he made 37 appearances for 22 goals and 7 assists. Quite the contribution. And he's been absolutely indispensable to Lehmann. While they've really been quite impressive in the way they've gone about their business. He played his last game against ResCap on February 28th, bagging 2 goals to go out on a high in a 5-1 win. A fitting departure for a really good Hong Kong Premier League player.
Yeah, you almost feel like he has left a bit too soon, as you would say. So it's a shame, but you know, of course, maybe if he sees this is the right time for retirement, then so be it. He certainly could have still played, I guess, a few years in the Hong Kong Premier League setting in the current one. But also good on him, right, that he is not waiting until past his prime to do just that, which some other players do.
Seems a shame for Lehmann, though, to lose him at this stage of the season.
Yeah, and a big question is, how do they replace him? Is there any word on who's going to come in? Because, you know, I don't see anyone else in the squad who's capable of being that kind of number 9.
There are still rumors that Manuel Bleda might return for another stint at Lehmann. Bleda, of course, known for his time at Eastern, particularly for his historic goal in the Asian Champions League from the penalty spot. That might help out a little bit. It's not sure if he's still up to form as he used to be. But yeah, people think that he might be on the way to just join Lehmann in a few days.
Yeah, well, there's a guy whose record in the league is almost as good as Ndri's, maybe better. He's a great goal scorer for Eastern, briefly for Kitchie as well. And I think it would be very good to see him back in the local game. I thought the loss of a quality striker was all too apparent for Lehmann in this game. They were very much on the front foot, trying to dominate possession, but lacking that penetration. They switched to a back three of Nando, UY Lim and Choi Wan Kit, playing what looked like a 3-2-4-1. Very attacking and really taking the game to Valley. But Happy Valley, on the other hand, were happy to soak up all the pressure and look to hit Lehmann with quick counter-attacks. On the whole, these strategies totally cancelled each other out. Kim Seung-yong was notionally the number 9 for Lehmann, but he just wasn't getting on the ball and wasn't getting any opportunities. Valley were also without Jaguar Robert Odu. Who is he injured? Or because he was missing from the squad?
I actually do not know. I would assume so. He was certainly not suspended. But yeah, he actually has not scored, right? Ever since the Premier League has resumed. Yeah, needs to reignite his engine, I believe.
Either way, it all fizzled out a bit. Honours even. Lehmann now 4th, Valley 6th. Valley are leading the way in one particular respect, though, and I think that is replica shirt. Toby, I believe you purchased one from them and you were very pleased.
Yes, indeed. I'm still very pleased about this shirt. I was warned, however, to really just only wash it by hand, which I mostly do for football shirts. But now it's a very beautiful kit and very nicely done especially with the number prints on the back that have the map of the Happy Valley area imprinted into it. It's very, very nice.
Yeah, very cool. And useful. Yeah, useful if you get lost in the Causeway Bay area.
So I thought it was fitting that Lehmann and Happy Valley played out a drab 0-0 draw with the goings-on behind the scenes. If Happy Valley had won, Lehmann might have written another letter of complaint.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, the last time they were meant to meet in a Sapling Cup semi-final, and then there was the insurance arrears, insurance gate. That kept Happy Valley out of that and had Lehmann progressing. And then 7 of the 8 teams signed a letter supporting Lehmann and Pegasus in their quest to return to Hong Kong football, which they did with a last-minute reprieve that weekend. That was up in the air the last time we spoke because they hadn't met, because they met on game day over the previous weekend. And then right now we're waiting to find out if and when Lee Man and Happy Valley will play their delayed, postponed, abandoned semi-final of the Sapling Cup.
Furloughed,
yeah, that's probably most apt. And right now, given the current situation in Hong Kong, which looks like there's a super spreader cluster in a gym, you know, we'd like the game to go as soon as possible, I'd say.
Yeah, indeed. Hopefully they can sort something out. Are we worried about what's going to happen with Hong Kong fixtures again? Are we going to just go back into another lockout if things worsen in the coronavirus front?
Well, anything can happen. Non-judgmental fun fact, yes. The non-judgmental fun fact is that, yeah, if the government decides that we have a lockdown, the football is also gone again because, yeah, no team could continue with the training. No team could continue playing in the venues anyway. So, yeah, as long as we can keep the numbers relatively down, I think at the current strategy looks okay in a sense that everyone who is slightly in danger would be quarantined for 14 days. I wonder what could happen, right? If we actually have the situation where an entire football team would need to go quarantined. That would really change the story. If someone in the which is not a bubble, in the Hong Kong Premier League non-bubble, would turn out as a case, and then you would have like a team or two that would need to go into quarantine. That would be more the danger at the moment than a complete shutdown again.
I think there'd be an irony if it was Lee Mann and everyone wrote a letter asking for the 3 points.
well, yes. Then if you don't show up, all the games get awarded as victories for the opponents, huh?
One team we haven't mentioned is Southern, who seem in a bit of a pickle. 4 points from four matches so far. They sit second bottom, and they lost 5-0 to Eastern in the Directions Derby. The Eastern Fork, as Johnny so prosaically termed them, was quite sharpened, as was Jared Lum, who scored a very nice goal from range. Next up for Southern, it's Lee Man and Rez Cap. See if they can pick up some points from the teams around them in the table. What other games are coming up? We mentioned Kitchi Eastern. Before that, Eastern have Pegasus on March 15th, Mongkok Stadium, 8 p.m. That could be a good one. Other than that, well, I can't sit here and read out all the fixtures. Before we go, we do have, I promised you, listeners, some football-related crime news. So
can you call it a non-judgmental fun fact instead?
This is also a non-judgmental fun fact. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the legal troubles of a former Rangers player, Chucky O'Quock. Now we can talk about the legal troubles of former Rangers player, Lilok Yin. He also used to be a star for the Hong Kong under-23s, played for Rangers, played for Pegasus. He even won the Hong Kong Football Podcast Goal of the Season back in 2016-2017.
Wow, we've been doing that so long.
Yeah. And since that quite august honour for a goal against, I actually don't remember, I remember the goal, but I can't remember. I think it was against Rangers or maybe BC Glory Sky. His career's kind of fallen off a cliff, and it hit a bit of a rock bottom in the past week or so. Toby, what's happened?
So this is now where I plug the new Hong Kong football podcast, True Crime show, right, that we're going to start. Okay.
Yeah. Support us on Patreon.
Yeah, it's long in the making. What happened here is that Lilok Yin, unfortunately, very similar to Chuck Kwok, has accumulated a lot of debt. Apparently, it's also related to a gambling addiction that he has been fighting with over the last years. But yeah, he ended up apparently owing his ex-girlfriend up to 500,000 Hong Kong dollars, which I think everyone in very non-judgmental terms could imagine that this is not a nice thing to be in if you owned your ex-girlfriend $500,000. But yeah, the consequence apparently was then that he also lost his current position as a player at North District, where he was still in the first division. And yeah, it seems to be another sad end of what looked like a promising youth talent career a few years back, similar to Chuck Yu Kwok. I mean, it points to a lot of problems, right, in general about Hong Kong football. Also points to the issue that it is still very, very hard for young players, particularly from a, you know, lower socioeconomic background, to really have the support and the ability, financial ability to make a living there, right? And then, of course, are more vulnerable also to go back the wrong path if things do not work out for them. So it's not to blame these players, right? But it's also to really look at in what kind of state Hong Kong football is and how difficult it is still for many players and many young players to actually make a real career out of it. It's very sad indeed.
Yeah, certainly. Still only 25 years of age as well. Not an old guy. And he's clearly not had the best run of it over the past few years. So hopefully things can get better for Lai Lok Yin. And maybe we'll see him back on a football pitch if we're lucky. Wishing him all the best. Johnny, last time we were on the podcast, we were talking about the possibility of Hong Kong hosting the AFC bubble. That is, you know, games from the AFC Cup and the AFC Champions League. At the time, it seemed as though it was either going to be Hong Kong being the hosts or Thailand. Is there any news on that front?
You'll be delighted to hear, James, that yes, there is. It's not all good news.
Okay.
The AFC Cup with two Hong Kong teams will be held in Hong Kong. Something of home advantage, despite it not being, but the bubble will be here. The AFC Champions League, though, will be held in Thailand. So Kitchee are off to Thailand. That was confirmed just before we went to the mics. It's not clear yet if it's going to be Bangkok or Buriram, but it's definitely Thailand. So I think that's May or June right now. But obviously the calendars are all to be, or is it April? I don't know. It's hard to keep track of that, but it's all to be determined. But Thailand it is.
Okay, well, good news and bad news. You know, yeah, it would have been great to have that kind of set piece spectacle of the AFC Champions League. But so that means that, so Eastern and Lee Man, who are in an AFC Cup group with a Taiwan team and a Mongolia team, if memory serves.
Yep.
That's going to be played in Hong Kong.
As of right now, yeah, the bubble will be in Hong Kong. The government is subject to government approval, but you know how these things work. They wouldn't have put in if there wasn't implication that if they were to win it, perhaps the government would approve.
But there's no specifics in terms of dates or how the games are going to be scheduled or anything like that.
No, there's no specifics on that. And the government need to sign off, because the expectation from the AFC is that no one will be subject to quarantine. They'll come in and they'll be fast-tracked through, and then they'll stay in quarantine apart from training and playing. And then they will leave again and live in a bubble. So the government need to do that. You know, this being Hong Kong, there is a possible risk that there will be a bit of backlash if this all goes ahead. But, you know, hopefully it gives Hong Kong a chance to prove it can host something, and it's a good sign for the future.
Well, on that optimistic note, I think that's everything for this edition of the podcast. We will see you in a couple of weeks, listener. Until then, enjoy the football. Get down to the stadium while you still can. Hope your team wins. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a place for you.